In our first lesson today from the book of Genesis, God makes a covenant with Abram and his descendants. In this covenant, God promises that Abram will be the father of many generations, a multitude of nations, a people from whom kings will come. And to signify this covenant, this new and deepened relationship with God, Abram's name is changed to Abraham, and his wife Sarai's name becomes Sarah. With a change of name, they enter a new relationship with God. They will be the ancestors of a vast people, a people who are God's covenant people, who are God's chosen people. In making covenant, God claims Abraham and his descendants forever. As God's people, they are called to faithfully go where God leads, walking in God's ways. And in return, God promises to watch over and care for the people, protecting them, providing what they need to live and thrive, and making them a great people of many generations. Walking in God's ways, following where God calls, sometimes proves difficult. Earlier in the account of Abraham and Sarah in the book of Genesis, God calls Abraham, and God asks something hard. God asks that he set out for an unknown land. God does not say where Abraham is going, how long the journey will take, what the route will be, or when it will end. But God promises to be with Abraham and Sarah in their travels. And God also makes that promise we hear today that Abraham will be the father of a great people with descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, a people possessing land for as far as the eye can see. God promises Abraham will be the ancestor of a great people despite the fact that he is old. As we hear in the letter to the Hebrews, it bluntly says, though his body was already as good as dead, and Sarah was already of an advanced age and so far unable to have children. Through his journey, there are times when Abraham doubts God's promise will ever be fulfilled. He asks God when and how it will come to pass. And somehow, in the midst of this unknown, in the midst of this certainty, even when he doubts God's promises will be realized, Abraham continues on in faith. He keeps following God. As the letter to the Hebrews says, no distrust made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised. Though both Abraham and Sarah laugh at the outlandish promise that they will have a child, and though Abraham wonders at times if God will really ever do this impossible thing, yet they continue in God's ways. They remain faithful to God's covenant. Though not always getting things quite right, though they make mistakes, they carry on, discerning as best they can where God is leading them. And in the end, it comes to pass that God accomplishes God's purposes, and Sarah does indeed give birth to a son, Isaac. Abraham and Sarah become the ancestors of a great people, stretching across many generations. And they are the spiritual ancestors of those who follow Jesus, of people like you and me. It seems to me that the story of Abraham and Sarah offers us much to reflect on in our own challenging age. For we too live in a time of uncertainty. We find ourselves in what feels like an alien and foreign land. We have given up much in the past year. We've experienced much illness and suffering, isolation and death. So many people struggle financially. White supremacy and systemic racism are glaringly and violently obvious. But we also have promising signs, such as increasing numbers of vaccinations and improving virus data. But experts remind us to remain vigilant and cautious, to keep practicing those things we're so familiar with, wearing masks, social distancing, avoiding crowds, especially indoors. Though we are beginning to see an end in sight to this pandemic time, we still don't know exactly when. We don't know exactly what life will look like as we move into summer and fall. And I think we don't yet know how we have been touched by this experience, how we have been changed by this past year. Nor do we fully grasp yet where God is leading us as we move into the future. It is only through prayer and reflection, I think, that we will be able to come to an understanding. It's only by listening to God, listening for God's call, that we will be able to hear and understand God's will for us in this time. Times like these, when so much is unknown and uncertain, are indeed challenging. Routine and a kind of certainty help us to cope with the unexpected of daily life. We want to be able to trust the experiences and the practices of each day, trust that they will be consistent from week to week. But pandemic time is not like that. It is unpredictable. It requires a kind of flexibility and an openness to the unknown. And that makes it stressful, because we don't always understand what is happening or how best to respond. We don't always have a sense of God's abiding presence or of where God is leading us. All this can cause us stress and grief, and it can leave us longing for how things were. The paradox is, however, that it is precisely times like these, in what some call liminal times, times when we stand at a threshold between one way of being and a yet unknown new way, that God can most reach us. It's in these uncertain times that we need God more than ever, and if we are intentional, we can open ourselves to God's call. We can rest in the fact that God is faithful, even as the uncertainty reigns around us and causes us anxiety. In these times, we have to let go of the past. We have to let go of how things were. We have to admit that we have no power to do otherwise. We can't change the present reality. Letting go can then open us to the new thing that God is doing in and through us. Abraham and Sarah show us how to live in these trying times. They offer the model of faithfully listening for God and trusting that God will provide, even when we are feeling challenged by the uncertainty. God's covenant, as Abraham and Sarah experienced, is trustworthy and true. God will not abandon us. Though we may doubt that God will do what is promised, in the end, God is faithful and will accomplish it. If, like Abraham, we express to God our doubts and worries, lifting up to God the ways that we are concerned or feeling we have difficulties in this moment, God will listen and God will answer. God will offer us what we need to be sustained in this trying time. Abraham and Sarah remind us we are called to be God's covenant people, to accept God's invitation to be God's holy people, faithfully walking in God's way wherever God might lead us. Though we may not see clearly where we are going, where it is that God may be leading us, and though we may have times where we doubt our strength to embrace the unknown, God promises to be with us, supporting and guiding and giving us all we need to follow. And at the last, God will indeed bring us to that promised land, to a place where life with God is more than we can ever ask for or imagine. To get there, however, requires we place our whole trust in God, that we surrender our lives, our wills, completely over to God. As followers of Jesus, we are called to live according to a higher authority, living by the sovereignty of God. Many of the ways of this world, of this world's values and morals and practices, are not in line with living as disciples of Jesus. We have to set our mind not on earthly but on heavenly things. The ways of the world are indeed tempting. They have a powerful hold on us. Over time, we drift away from God's call to holy living. We're lured away by what the world seductively offers. The season of Lent asks that we take stock of where we are. We admit the ways we have drifted away, and we reorder our practices and our priorities so they are focused on God. In today's gospel, Jesus calls us to live with God at the center of our lives, denying what the world has to offer, and instead following Him. His way is the way of self-giving love. It is the way of the cross. Jesus in our gospel says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life?" The paradox of the Christian life is that we find true, abundant life in following Jesus and in giving up our lives. Through letting go of what society calls the good and desirable life, that good way to live, is how we find the divine life of God. This path is a commitment to living so that we are focused on Jesus, that we walk behind Him wherever He leads. Now, through the centuries, this gospel passage has been misused. It has been privatized and spiritualized. It has been interpreted as the personal burdens that we each have to bear. That's our cross. And we should just silently and willingly carry that cross. Unfortunately, people at the margins of society and the church, especially women, African Americans, people of color, LGBTQ people, have been the ones told they must sacrifice. They must carry their own crosses, enduring things just the way they are. This unfortunate interpretation has supported the oppressive status quo of society and church. But this is not the call of Jesus. Jesus calls His disciples to surrender our entire lives and wills to God. We're called to have no greater allegiance than our love of God, our neighbor, and ourselves. Walking the way of the cross is not about diminishing our personhood. It is not a call to tolerate unjust or oppressive relationships. Rather, walking behind Jesus leads us into wholeness, to the fullness of life that God intends for us as beloved children of God. Giving our hearts and our lives over to Jesus, walking the way of the cross, is a path where we make no peace with the unjust ways of this world. This road has no room for injustice, violence, or greed. It rejects the individualism of our age, resisting that urge to put ourselves first at the expense of the well-being of others. This way makes no peace with abusive or oppressive relationships. The cross liberates us from the death-wielding, life-denying tyrannies of our world. The reality is Jesus comes to set us free from injustice and from everything that alienates and diminishes the full stature of our humanity. Through the power of the cross, all of our suffering and loss is given meaning. Jesus is with us in our pain and our grief. Jesus is with all who experience the injustice and oppression of the world. Having suffered His own passion, He knows what it is to experience pain, rejection, and a horrible death. Jesus stands in solidarity with all who suffer and sustains them in all they experience. Jesus calls us, His followers, to live as He lives, fighting injustice, caring for those in need, and comforting those who suffer and mourn. We are called to give up ourselves by serving others in God's name. This is the way God calls us to walk. This is the way of Jesus, and it is the way of love. And so, in this Lent, as beloved children of God, let us say yes to walking behind Jesus on that road, the road that leads to the cross. His word is certain and trustworthy, and while paradoxical, this road of self-denial indeed leads to the fullness of abundant and eternal life. It leads us to life centered on God, where we become the creatures God intends us to be. May we set out into the unknown before us, trusting that Jesus walks before us, leading us, sustaining us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the Spirit providing all we need to make this journey. Though we may be anxious in this time of ongoing sacrifice and of restriction, hoping for it to be over soon, in the meantime, let us lean on Jesus, allowing him to support us in this not yet time. As our hopes and our optimism grow, may we remain firm in our commitment to act for the common good. And let us listen always for God's call, trusting God's covenant, placing our hope in the promise that God will indeed deliver us. And may we accept the call of this Lent, that through the journey of these days, we may come to the joy of Easter and the promise of resurrection life. Amen.